We're in the middle of a series right now on from here to maturity. How do we get from where we are as believers to a place where we can have more maturity in what we call the fruit of the Spirit? If you could help me back in the back there, I'd like to share this verse with the congregation. It's Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. Will you read this with me? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So today we're going to focus on that one word, patience. And when I think of patience, I think of my dog Murphy. Here's Murphy. When I come home from work, 5:30 or whatever, he hears the tires in the driveway and he knows Dad's home. And he starts barking from the minute I come in that door. He wants to eat. All right? If he happens to be in his house or his cage and I open that gate, as soon as I touch the latch, he's on it and he's like a bullet coming out of that cage, right to his food bowl. And there he sits, looking at me, saying, "Why aren't you feeding me?" Now, when Murphy's there by his bowl, if I go and start scooping his food, Murphy starts drooling. It pools up on the floor. It's pretty gross and cute at the same time. Now, I've been teaching Murphy patience, and I have him lay down there by his bowl, and we say his prayers for the food. My wife was so concerned about how fast he eats the food. You see the bowl, that orange thing? That's his bowl. He has to go foraging for his food in that maze. It takes him a little while because he'd just eat the whole thing in about 5 or 10 seconds. So that's Murphy. But what is patience when we say someone needs to learn patience or we want to learn patience? By the way, if you want to follow along with the sermon today, there's a take home inside the bulletin. If you're the kind of person who likes to take notes or likes to see what's happening with the sermon, you're welcome to look at that. But you'll see here on the screen, the word patience that Paul uses here is a combination of two words. One is makros and the other one is thymos. And makros means long. It's a long outlook. And thymos means either passion or anger, depending on how you use the word. So we have this image that comes up here in the scripture of the idea of being long-tempered, being patient, or being short-tempered, not being patient. And so here we go. I borrowed some firecrackers from a family in the church who shall go unnamed. And here's the short wick, the short temper, and here's the long tempered, the long wick. That's kind of what Paul is saying here when he talks about patience, is he's talking about this long period of time that it takes for us to get frustrated, to fly off the handle, that we would be long-wicked, Paul says. We have an evangelist friend who was preaching here a few weeks ago named Walter Moody, and I heard Walter preach. I wasn't here that Sunday, but I listened to the MP3 online, and he said anger is a big problem for many people today. And as someone who does a lot of pastoral counseling, I'd have to say that he's right. When someone gets really angry, have you ever looked at their nose? A lot of times their nostrils flare. How do we breathe when we get angry? We breathe very shallow, generally, and we breathe hard. The Old Testament synonym for the word that Paul uses here in the New Testament, this Old Testament word, actually speaks to that. It says that we should be long-nosed. So instead of having our nostrils flaring like this, we should have a long nose. I told that to someone yesterday, said, like Pinocchio? No, not really. Or another way that you could look at that Old Testament word is a long breathing. So instead of breathing real short and heavy and you're ready just to knock down that person in front of you, that you would breathe deeply, that you would take a moment to take in what's going on and to calm down. Now, There are two Greek words that Paul could have used when he said patience. One is patience that has more to do with our circumstances. How are we doing with the things that are happening in our lives, circumstantial stuff? And there's another word that has to do with patience as it regards people. So do I have a short wick or a long wick with people? And Paul here uses the word that's primarily used for how we deal with people. So we're not going to talk about circumstances so much today as we're going to talk about our relationship with other people as it regards this word, patience. Another way that we could translate this word in some of the scriptures or some of the Bibles, you might see the word long suffering. Again, you get that idea. So you suffer for a long time before your bottle rocket goes off, so to speak. Paul suffered long with these people he's talking with, the Galatian people. Paul had a serious conflict with the church in Galatia. It was a conflict that had to do with the purity of the gospel, the purity of the good news of Jesus Christ. They had taken some other things and he had mixed it with the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that Jesus died, was buried, resurrected, ascended into heaven, and that our salvation is completely based on that. Our whole lives should be based on that. They were adding good works into that system of the gospel. And Paul says, that is no gospel at all. And so he's confronting the church of Galatia, and he says this, and we mentioned this a few weeks ago, Paul tells them, he says, my love for you, my relationship with you is a lot like a mother giving birth. Isn't that an illustration of long suffering? Some of you who've had children, you suffered for 9 months, you know, carrying the child, and then when it came to labor, perhaps that labor was very long. You get the idea what Paul's talking about, that he had this long-suffering relationship with the church at Galatia. Now, do we really need this thing, long-suffering? Do we really need this? Contrast this with the first three things that Paul mentioned. He said, love, joy, peace. I don't know about you, but I want those three. Patience, I think I could do without that one, honestly. Who wants patience? In fact, if you ask God to give you patience, he's probably going to bring people in your life who are going to require patience. Are you with me here? Come on, be honest. No, I'd rather get angry. I'd rather be resentful. I'd rather bellyache. I'd rather retaliate. So then I have time to go back to my love, joy, and peace. Right? I want the love, joy, and peace, but I can't do that, can I? And the reason I can't do that is because the Apostle Paul tells the Galatians that this is the fruit of the Spirit. He didn't say fruits. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And so we're looking at each one of these, love, joy, peace, patience. And so if I grow in love, joy, and peace, I'm going to grow in patience. See how that works? If I grow in patience, I'm also going to grow in love, joy, and peace. They work together. They're one fruit. Now, so we need patience. Because without patience, we don't get all the other things. So look at what Paul says to the Ephesian churches. Here in Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, he says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the what? Calling you have received. That's an important word. Be completely humble and gentle. Be what? Patient. Bearing with one another in love. So we have a calling when it comes to being part of the family of God. In the family of God, sometimes we have to relearn the way that we did things in our family of origin. Maybe we weren't very patient or we didn't see patience exhibited in our family of origin. And when we come into the family of God, we have to learn a new way of being and doing. Perhaps we weren't humble, gentle, patient. We didn't bear with one another in love in our families growing up. But that's what God has called us to in his family. And by the way, I believe he holds us accountable for this idea of growing in the fruit of the Spirit. Let me illustrate this. When a parent is gone and they come back home, this can be a tremendous motivator for some children. When I was a kid, it was, wait till your father comes home. That was tremendously motivating for me. I went and hid. But in my house, it goes something like this. Mama's coming home, girls. She'll be home soon. So let's clean the living room and the stairs and the kitchen and the mudroom and the bathroom and the office and the spare room before she gets home. We've got 30 minutes. We've got 45 minutes. It's a challenge. She will be very happy with us. Of course, I'll be happy too. I won't get in trouble. Now, why is this motivating to my children? Well, I would expect that it would be, you know, that they have been called to do this by their father. I would hope that that would be a reason this would be motivating, but it's probably some other things. They want to please mom when she gets home. They want her to be pleased. And also, they realize they don't have much time. See, time can be a motivator. They've only got 30 minutes. They've only got 45 minutes. And they only have to clean for that long because then mom's going to be home, right? So it's the thing about time. And if you listen to James, who was the brother of Jesus, he says something very similar to what I'm trying to say here. Look at what it says here. It says, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. James is speaking to poor people in the Christian community who are being oppressed by rich people. The poor people here are told to be patient until the coming of the Lord, to wait for patience to be developed within them, to stand firm, not to go anywhere, not to leave the situation, not to leave these other people, but also not to grumble and not to have quiet resentment, because that's the opposite of patience. Do you see that? Patience develops this long-wicked life, whereas quiet resentment would be more like this short wick, because eventually that quiet resentment is going to blow up when we least expect it. The judge is standing at the door, he says, so patience puts me in a place where I can please God even when other people aren't pleasing God. Patience allows me to let God do the judging. Says here, God's the judge. He's standing at the door. James says, let God decide between you. I'm motivated to develop patience because I recognize that Jesus could come back at any moment. And the only thing that will matter when Jesus comes back is this, the spiritual fruit that's been developed in me through the Holy Spirit, that I have allowed the Holy Spirit to develop within me. That's all that's going to matter at that moment when Jesus opens that door and comes back. So the answer is this. Yes, we need patience. Remember the writer of Hebrews said this. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For you must believe that God is, that he exists, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So do you believe that if you diligently seek God in this matter of patience, that he will help you in your relationship with other people? Can you trust that whatever God does in that, that's going to be okay? That God's going to take care of you in those relationships? That is one of the key questions today. So we know what patience is now. We know that we need it. But where do we find patience? Paul says that he was the worst of sinners. And he says, Christ Jesus displayed his immense patience toward me, Paul says. Paul recognized that he lived most of his life, even though he was very religious, he lived most of his life just doing the rituals. And he spent some of his life actually persecuting Jesus' followers. And he recognized the depravity of his life. And he says here, Jesus had immense patience. He also says in Romans 2 and verse 4 that God's patience and kindness is the thing that leads us to repentance. I want to talk to you this morning if you're not yet a believer, if you're still trying to figure out what it means to be a Christian. I think these verses are important. What it means to believe in Jesus is to recognize your sin, the way that Paul did here. He said, I'm the worst of sinners. I'm the worst one among us. You recognize your sin. You recognize just how patient God has had to be with you. And you respond to his patience and his kindness, and you repent. The word repent means to turn around. I stopped doing life the way that I was doing it before, and I turned around and I turned toward God. And God began to work in my life. Now, if you don't understand what all that means, later at the end of the service, we'll have a couple of people that will be up here. We'd love to explain that to you so that you can know what it really means to be a Christian. But what I need to say to you here now is, if you're not a Christian, you can't learn the kind of patience that I'm talking about today without first responding to God's patience for you. All of us are given a degree of patience, right? And part of that has to do with the way God's wired us in our personalities. Some of us are more patient temperamentally than others. But that's not the kind of patience I'm talking about today. The patience I'm talking about today is a supernatural patience. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It's something only the Spirit can produce in us. So while some of us may be more patient than others just normally, our baseline, that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about when the Holy Spirit supernaturally works in our lives to a place where we're exponentially more patient than we would normally be. That's what we're talking about. Now, let me talk to Christians today. Do you understand the immense patience that God showed to you before you believed? Do you recognize the great patience that he exhibits even now that you are a Christian and you stumble and fall? It says a just man falls 7 times and gets back up again. And how patient God is with us and all those failings. We have experienced God's patience firsthand, and his patience can rub off on us. In John 15, it says that if we abide with Jesus, if we remain in Jesus, another way to translate that is to make yourself at home, to stay a while. That is the key to bearing the kind of fruit we're talking about, is spending this time with God, and we'll get into that a little later, but that's the first thing I discovered as I looked into the scriptures about where do we get this patience from. We learn it and experience it firsthand in our relationship with Jesus, being connected to Jesus. And he brings that through his Holy Spirit. But that's not all. We also learn it from other mature believers. Paul says it this way. He says, you know all about my patience. Or in another way of translating it, you have followed my patience. And he's talking to a young man named Timothy here, who was kind of his prodigy. And he says, Timothy, you have seen the patience that the Holy Spirit has developed in me. You have followed this. You have looked at it like a model, like a schematic drawing of some sort, and you have seen this. You have studied this. The Galatian believers had a model to follow in the Apostle Paul. They had a flesh and blood example of what it means to be patient. Now, when you think of the collective fruit of the Spirit, all these things that we're talking about each week, who do you think of? When you think of fruit of the Spirit, when you read that list that we read at the beginning of the service, who is it that comes to mind for you? When you think about living a life that is not short-wicked, but long-wicked, long-tempered, long-suffering, who's that person that most emulates that kind of life for you? Jesus is our ultimate example, but he places mature believers in our lives for a reason. They provide a flesh and blood model for what this looks like. Now, if you investigate and you follow the model of someone who is supernaturally patient, I believe you're likely to see at least 3 things in their lives. And these come directly out of the scriptures and directly this word that Paul used here in Galatians. He uses it many times in other places. And I'm going to show you 3 of those. These three things I'm going to show you answer the question, how do we go from here, where we are, to being more mature in this idea of patience? The first thing I discovered is that you have to go to the source. We said God is the one who is originally patient, and he's patient with us, and so we understand and experience that from him, and then that's how we can become more patient. So we have to go to the source. And this is found in Colossians 1 and verse 11. It says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. All right, so that you might have patience, what do? Well, you have to be strengthened with all power. That power comes from God. That is the source of the kind of patience that you and I can have developed within us. So be honest with yourself regarding these frustrating experiences that you have with other people. Are you trying to be patient in and of yourself? Are you trying to do this on your own? Maybe you're involving other people who have no business hearing all the stories about the other people in your life that you're frustrated with, right? We call that gossip when we involve other people in a problem that we have with someone else, people who aren't going to be part of the solution. Sometimes we do that. Here, if we really figure out what Colossians 1:11 is saying, is that we'll go directly to the source. Now, all of us are going to have those tendencies to do those things I talked about here. But we have to catch ourselves, and we have to go to Christ, go to the source. He understands frustration like no one else understands frustration. If you read the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those first four books, you will see that Jesus understands what it means to be frustrated, to have frustrating circumstances, to have people in his life who were difficult to be with and to love. He's the only one that has the power to help you with this thing about patience. So the next time you feel yourself getting short-fused with someone, ask Jesus to be patient with that person through you. See, the source is God. God's patience is just going to flow through you to bless that other person and to help you exhibit this fruit. So that's the first thing I discovered when I looked at this idea. What does it look like for someone to move from here to where God wants them to be? The second thing I found is that we have to put on. We have to put it on. So patience comes from God. He's trying to bring it into our lives, but then he tells us that we have to put it on. This is found in Colossians 3 and verse 12. He says, clothe yourselves. This is the Apostle Paul speaking as well to the church at Colossae. He says, clothe yourselves with. And one of the things he says in that verse is patience. That this is something you have to put on like you would clothes. So you put on the heart of patience. This doesn't come naturally, does it? This is something that we have to put on. We bear with one another. We forgive one another. If we have a complaint with someone in the church, Paul says in that same passage, we forgive them as the Lord has forgiven us. So God produces this patience, but he calls us to put it on. The next time that you find yourself in a season maybe of short-fusedness or frustration, maybe you would start that next day and just imagine yourself putting on this garment of patience. Clothe yourself with Christ and his patience. The next time you're headed into a meeting or getting ready to see someone that has been frustrating to you in the past, just see yourself putting on these new clothes, the clothes that belong to Christ, Christ's patience. Go into that meeting, have a discussion with that person, but put on patience first. And I discovered one more thing that I'd like to show you, and that is to be honest. And I want you to see what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. He says, to proclaim the message, be ready to do this whether or not the time is convenient. Refute, warn, encourage with the utmost what? Patience when you teach. So Paul is talking to Timothy, who's going to be a teacher in the church. But I believe his words really speak to us today because he brings up this word patience here. Some of us are afraid to pursue patience. Why? Because when we think of patient people, sometimes we think of people who are doormats, people that get stepped all over. Yeah, that person's really patient, but look at that. Like, who would want to live that kind of life? But did you catch what Paul said here? He says there are times in Christian community when we have to refute someone. We have to point out the error of their way or their thinking, or we may have to warn somebody. But he says here that we do it with the utmost patience. If you've never refuted or warned anybody in Christian community before, I want you to know that that is not incompatible with patience. You can warn someone, you can refute someone, and still be very patient with them. I remember a guy I used to work with in a church, and we were not like on the same wavelength, and we had, you know, hours of discussion, and I was just marveling at how he would continue to sit there minute after minute, you know, hour after hour, day after day, and continually listen to me tell him what I was trying to say, even though he wasn't getting it. He was very patient, and that always stuck with me. So how do we do this? Can you think of someone in your life who's gotten in your face, in a sense, but they've done it in a very patient sort of way? I can think back in my life of many people who stood in front of me and said, "Don't go in that direction. I know what's going to happen to you if you go in that direction." And then I went in that direction. And then a month later, they said, "Vinny, how you doing? I noticed you headed in that direction. How are things going? Hey, I want to encourage you. You can turn around. You can come back in this direction." They were very patient with me, even though they were refuting me, even though they were warning me. They did it in a very patient way. I think those people are worth their weight in gold, because not only are they telling you the right thing, but they have the patience to stick with you until you get the lesson. So I think that's the kind of people we should be. We need to be honest with others. We have to tell the truth, whether it's convenient or not, here, as Paul says. But we need to make sure that we're doing it with the same patience that we've experienced from Christ. We've experienced that patience, and we can give that patience, even when we're being honest with somebody. So next time you feel the prompting of the Spirit of God to say something along these lines to someone, maybe a word of correction or a word of warning, I want to encourage you to stop and ask God to also give you his patience, to be honest, but also patient. You see, we can't do this alone. Ultimately, this is a work of the Spirit of God, and we need the example of Jesus to guide us. We need his Spirit to empower us to be able to do this. Scripture says this: Jesus endured the cross. He endured the cross. When he was on the cross, people spat at him. People yelled insults at him. The very people he was dying for their sins, they were sinning against him right then and there when he was dying for their sins. It says he endured the cross. That's our model of patience. That's where we get the power for patience, is from Jesus. What greater patience could there be than that? Let's pray together. Maybe you're here today and you need to confess in prayer that your relationship with God has slipped, and because that has slipped, you've also become less patient. Just confess that right now. Maybe God has placed some great models of patience in your life, but you haven't used them very well. You could confess that right now. Maybe you're here today and you don't have any idea where to look to find a model for the fruit of the Spirit or patience. Just pray that God will reveal that to you, that he'll open your eyes, that he'll bring someone into your life that can be that person, that can take your hand and take you the steps forward that you need to go. While we were looking at the scriptures today, I know God impressed upon someone's heart here today that you are to be that model of Christ in the likeness for someone else, that you are to be that model of patience for someone else. So for you, I'd ask you just to be sensitive to the fact that God's telling you that, and to ask him who those people are that he wants you to come alongside. If God has spoken to you in some other way today, use this time to talk to him about what you've heard.